It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
I want to introduce you to another declaring their independence kind of individual. Just a little introduction to Justin Olson. We met him at Porcupine Freedom Festival and Fork Fest. He was with autonomy.com, Lisa and Richard Groves' effort to, free humanity and find the best minds available to what we need into the future. And autonomy is highly spoke of by a lot of people, and Justin's one of the graduates that was there, and we found that he had skills, enough skills that we wanted to have him come up and share his skills with us. So we're up at Derek's in Maine, in Bangor, Maine, where he's been doing mechanics, doing brakes, doing laser sculpting on the laser, making stencils. He can do all jack of all trades at a very young age. Now, Justin Olson, he party. All you women, man, you want to get that picture of that. He needs the next, he needs a Mrs. Olson or Mr. Olson, whatever, we haven't asked. But, we got to get him identified. What we want to do is go ahead and just introduce him a little bit to you. He's been, he's a new friend, and he's going to be helping us with the studio. So I just wanted to show them in here what we're doing and so on. And then this afternoon, we're going to start breaking this down. It's Friday and July 9th. And we just did Dennis Kucinich and Dr. Judy Mikovits. And I have like 15 minutes to add into it to be a full 2 hour for the network. So I go, yeah, Justin, come in and say hello. Well, he's going to be up here for a little bit. Then he'll pop down to New Hampshire and stop at Jay's and Brian Bender's, and he's got to head over to Connecticut to get some goodies that he has there, and then we'll see where he goes. But he's welcome just about anywhere in the freedom community because the boy be capable. So I'm going, okay. So I want to make sure you guys get introduced to him, and we may have work for him around the country. There's a lot of people that need somebody that's a hard worker with skills. That is definitely a value in the liberty community. Now, his webpage is biobask.com. biobask.com. So the first thing you can tell me is, what's BioBask?
Well, hey, Ernie, thanks for having me on. And that was quite the introduction. BioBask was actually my attempt to get some education and awareness on the function and use of probiotics in healing and maintaining our soil and the health of our planet and waterways.
How old are you?
I am 24.
How the heck did you skip ahead to that?
Well, I went on a sojourn, and I met some people that were far more aware than I was, and they talked story with me for a number of months, and it set me on a path well above what I would have found on my own at that time.
This is, and you're from southern Utah?
Yeah, I grew up in southern Utah.
So which is like St. George, might as well be Arizona.
Yeah,
it's like
it's right on the
northern strip there.
Pretty much desert, yeah.
Well, on the border, it's kind of like Arizona is Arizona up to the Grand Canyon. You got to get across the Grand Canyon, and then you have this called the Northern Strip. So it's just a narrow piece of land that's still Arizona that's north of the Grand Canyon. So Arizona, borders both sides of the canyon. And right up there is just high desert, and you're in the dry desert area of southern Utah. So I'm familiar with the area. And you left your home there. Why? What was your education? Did you get all edumacated and everything? Where'd you learn all your skills?
Well, I went through the status quo path of the public education system, kindergarten through 12th. I dropped out of college after the first semester, but I was very fortunate to go to the local tech school where I got a lot of hands-on experience. They sort of gave me the gambit of everything from OSHA certification to Lean Six Sigma certification, and just a taste of everything that the tech school had to offer. So I was in the technical side of things and the CAD design and 3D modeling and making. That was for about a year and a half. And then after that, you know, the education wasn't cutting it for me. I dropped out of college after a semester and I went traveling. I just sort of sold my car, got a pair of new shoes and a backpack, and decided I was going to sojourn for a while.
Well, define sojourn.
Sojourn was just start hitchhiking. I had read, let's see, what book was it that led me to San Francisco? I read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Mm. And at the very end of that book, there's a short snippet on how the son of the author or the main character in the story, I forget which, was at the one of the Zen monasteries there in San Francisco. So I sort of aimed for that as a destination. So I started hitchhiking through Vegas, down, skipped Los Angeles, went all up California, got into Oregon, got up to Portland, and I just got a taste of life, of a unhinged freedom that youthful spirit has. Once I got back into Utah, it wasn't fitting me anymore. So I just decided to go back out into California, and then I was there for 3-4 months, and that was the real sojourn and learning some street smarts and just being more competent, forged as an individual.
Well, your mechanical skills came from somewhere. I mean, you're diving into vehicles and fixing, you got coding skills, you're in there working on the laser. And so, I mean, all this came from somewhere. I mean, where?
Yeah, so a big part of that was to get my first vehicle. My dad offered me a Jeep that he built, and my father had custom built Jeeps for a number of decades before I was even born. So the prerequisite was you get the Jeep if you sign up for auto shop class. In the beginning, I didn't think I was into it. I didn't want the manual labor, the work part of it. But then I joined in my first semester, found a group of friends, and just found out that I really liked working on vehicles and I really liked motorsports, and the mechanical aspects made sense to me. The electrical aspects made sense to me, and I just took off with it.
So now you got skills that you're starting to find. Now, Lisa Manfredi, I guess she's a recruiter, certainly administrative representative, and, you know, taking care of business at Autonomy. And she goes, you know, I guess, you know, we were talking about, you know, our needs, and, you know, if you got somebody, there's work to be had. And she goes, I want you to meet Justin, you know, and, you know, you're able, might be able to cure a lot of our studio problems that we're trying to reconfigure this. And you think you might be able to help there. So we'll find out today. We'll let you guys know. But, you know, so Justin's been up here for a week, I guess, about, right?
Give or take.
Yeah. You know, and they're like, hey, you know what? You're doing pretty. We might, you know, you need to stay another week. I think, you know. So, and then there's plenty of work to be done by people just like you, you know, that have the skills and desire and is, you know, nice guy, you know, oh yeah. Did I say he was a good looking girl? So I just want you to know, you know, hey, available or not?
Yeah.
Man, and he's in New Hampshire. What do you think of New Hampshire? Is this, you know, the New England area and people up here? You're in Maine now, but this community, you found some good guys, you think?
Well, I mean, I came out to this whole Northeast area because of the Freedom Community, because I actually had a group of confident thinking people that weren't just accepting the status quo or reliving everything that they'd been told. And I kind of feel like if something were to happen, economy were to collapse, shit hits the fan or something, like I wouldn't want to be around everybody that I have been previously in my life. And not that they're bad people, but they weren't as free thinking and as prepared for this sort of thing. So I wanted to be around other competent people that were aware of what was going on in the world, both for my own education and because there's going to be safety in numbers and community when we got to rely on each other.
Yeah. Community keeps coming up a lot. And Autonomy, how did you wind up going through that process?
So when I was on the sojourn and I met the medicine man that shared with me the probiotics and stuff that I was talking about earlier, he actually also shared with me the 9/11 synchronicity podcast and the Peace Revolution podcast, and gave me the basic grammar for the trivium and the classic liberal arts and all of the sort of things that the public school system can't afford to teach you. So when I returned back to Utah, I got into the Tragedy and Hope archives and materials, and was especially interested in the trivium and in the critical thinking.
Trivium, gotta explain.
Trivium, yep. So
what is it?
Trivium would be the grammar, logic, rhetoric, three-step process of thinking that our brains naturally follow to learn things and to think through things, but when it's explicitly understood and used as a methodology to gather the information, process it in a non-contradictory manner, to come up with valid conclusions that you can share with other people and use to, you can use the trivium to get common points of reference on what is true in the world on any subject. So that fascinated me because, well, what is true?
That's what a young guy needs, man. You'll start Absolutely. With a base of understanding of something. You know, this is one thing that, you know, I've known Richard Grove for a long time. And when he started doing this process, he definitely saw there was a need. And of course, people like that always think that, you know, well, everybody thinks this way. You just go look. Well, they're not motivated, or they don't know, or they've been conditioned out of it. You know, they don't want to, they don't even know what the heck's going on. So he created this program. He's into, I think it's like his fifth or sixth class. And there was 60, 70, 80 people that came to, you know, the festival this last week, you know, just because he was there. So, you know, that was interesting.
Yeah, that's the really unique part of a course like that, is that you get such a high caliber of person coming into the course that even when there's, you know, a few hundred in the course, you'll get a good portion of those that are willing to go across the country. Some even flew out from Hawaii to meet with other people, because you're surrounded by other conscious people as you're all mutually growing to learn the skill sets you need to survive and thrive in the 21st century.
Well, you know, what do you think those skills are? What's the prime, you know, being someone at such a young age that's able to add to a community a lot of, I mean, if you can, you know, heal people and fix things, you win. You know, you're not going to starve and you're always welcome. Well, you're kind of going down both, you know, tracks here. You know, you want to be healthy and you got a lot of skills, so you can pretty much be a part of whatever you want. You just need to look for the babes, man. You know, we're going to market for you. You're looking for, you know, companionship, you know, someone to build a life with. Are you ready for that? Or you got a few years to go yet?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's something I'd really want to get into, is actually, you know, raising the next generations and doing it as best you possibly can in helping out, because the next generations are really where the solution's at. And though I might be competent and capable, you know, I'm not going to be around forever. And I think ultimately passing on these skill sets and rites of passage are going to be some of the most important things we can do in our timeline.
Rites of passage. When was the last time we had any of that? Your rite of passage is if you can play, you know, Pac-Man or something. You know, I'm looking for, you know, what would you think those rites of passage would be for Generation Next? They need to be able to what?
Well, they need to be able to provide for themselves through making offers to the market and understanding market economies and how our economy works, because ultimately, like, freedom's the goal, but we need to solve the financial system so that we're not enslaved by it, so that we can actualize higher aspects of our life. And that's not to say that money is everything, because it's certainly not. But if you're enslaved by the system, then you're not reaching your potential as a human being. So certainly learning how to navigate this world and be productive in your own way, in a way that provides for yourself and for a family, if that's what you're doing. I think that's, you know, learning that would be the skill sets, and then the graduation and applying it into your life would be the rite of passage. And this circles back into autonomy, because that is what this is: skill sets and rites of passage for the 21st century.
Skill sets and rites of passage, a rite, a ceremony, a mechanism, you know, for growing up. You know, these are things that our culture here used to be, I don't know, simple things. You can grow things, you can fix things, you can shoot, you know, you can provide for yourself. You're not a burden. You go to a community, you're an add, not a subtraction. I mean, you know, some of these basic fundamental things that you got to go, we got to learn this, you know, to even know that that's a thing,
yeah.
You know, I guess so, you know, and the fact that you have chosen to actively seek that out and do it, you know, says a whole bunch about you too, you know, and the people that you've met and all the guys were here working, and you can see, man, we'd be busy. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Do you feel comfortable here, you know, doing this kind of work?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I fit right in. I mean, the workshop and shop environment and just being working and hands-on, like, it's fulfilling. It's very fulfilling. And being around a bunch of people that are smarter than me but still, like, thinking in the same way about freedom and cognitive liberty and, you know, genuinely wanting to see the planet be less subjugated, it feels like I fit in.
And you found, you know, there's a lot of methods and avenues and tacks that were taken to do that very thing. You know, it's a tapestry of what you can fit in. And you've been able to help in a lot of areas, you know, on that. That's, you know, at a, you know, 24 years of age to see that in saving the planet that you're like, skillful in helping and being a part of and actually advance it, that has to be self-confidence building. Hey, a little bit of self-esteem kind of goes up there.
Yeah.
You don't have to rely totally on your good looks.
No.
I got to keep bringing that in, girls. I just want you to know.
You know, it's really is a shame how the public school system deprives us so much of that self-confidence and self-reliance. Because before that, I mean, you provided for yourself. And before it was forced mandatory schooling, you know, 7-8-year-olds were functional, productive members of society, 12 years old at the latest. So it's not the usual, unfortunately, just to be self-reliant. You know, in your early 20s.
Which... Yeah, you know, it's one thing it brings to mind in earlier America, you know, the age of marriage was much lower. It keeps getting higher because they're not mature enough. I mean, you know, they say, oh my God, they were getting married at 15, 16, or even younger in some cases. But, you know, 15, 16, 17, you start to get to be an old maid. And the reason is because they had learned all the life skills by that time. It's like, what else are they going to learn? They're like, look, man, I'm good. You know, it's time to, you know, start for the next generation. And it is a level of emotional and spiritual maturity that goes along with the physical maturity. And we're missing that. And it's, you know, I'm old enough. I'm of age. What? You're 18? You know, here, let me have a conversation with you. I don't think you've matured enough yet. You know, I'm afraid to give you a driver's license, you know, access to give them car keys. But I'll just hand them a bottle of whiskey. You know, it's sad out there. So your peers, your, I guess, competition in this world, you feeling, you know, that you got a lot of competition, do you?
Not necessarily, no. And the kind of people that I'm going to work with are going to be collaborative, not competitive anyways. So I don't think there is too much competition going on, especially when we get into the realm of working towards freedom that is getting closer and closer to unification and working together.
Yeah, no, I could see that be a goal, but I'm just, you know, the point that I'm making is when you're out in the real world of you're an add or a subtraction, you know, competent people line up here, there's not a big long line, you know, so you don't have that much competition. Well, I'm interested in following your progress in the Liberty community because it'll take a while. You know, there'll be, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit, and then all of a sudden, and I want to be here. You know, there's a lot of different opportunities I hear. You know, certainly Arizona, we're doing stuff. There's, you know, things going on in Kansas that we're aware of. We got, you know, the New England, you know, especially with New Hampshire, they got a lot of things going on. And I'm sure with this mindset and contacts, even in your hometown, you could find people of like mind. But
absolutely,
it is definitely of a like mind thing. You know, it's that, you know, and how would you describe that for the, you know, the future Mrs. Olson? What does she need to have to bring to the table?
Oh, well, that's really just an open-mindedness to explore what's going on in the world truly. And that's not to be like conspiratorial and wild and strange about it, but we got a lot of human beings on this planet under subjugation of their own minds, and it's not chains and shackles and physical slavery, but it is, you know, you go through 15,000 hours of public schooling and you're not even asking questions or using dialectics. So it'll be a process of really just being willing to learn or already aware of what's going on in the world and just trusting that we can think faster and better and smarter than the people that wish to subjugate us.
Yeah, the subjugators are parasites. They need us to create and to build and to imagine, and because whatever it is that makes them sociopaths, that link in their brain didn't get connected either.
It's like they're jealous of our ability to be creators.
Well, I don't know if they're definitely exploiting it.
Yeah,
you know, whether they're jealous or not, they're going, look, it's somebody's creativity we can exploit. Let's go do that. And because they can't. And that's one thing that a friend of mine really emphasized to me, and it just rang so true, is that the people that wish to subjugate and exploit our talents and our creativity and our creation and stuff that can't. I mean, they're not wired that way. They're just parasites that'll exploit whatever we're doing. They need us. But do we need them? I don't think so. No, I vote no. I tell you, I just want to make sure that we're rewarded for our own efforts, that we get, you know, it's like a life and my ability and right to protect it, the liberty with what I do with my hands in support of my life and the resulting property, you know, life, liberty, property. And as a declaration is, you know, the pursuit of happiness. I wish to pursue my own happiness. You get to pursue yours. It's all good. I'm not in competition with whatever it is that you want to do. It's not a zero sum. I mean, we can add on to and create the communities as long as we are left alone to do so. And that's kind of where I think this movement is going, is we're like, look, you guys want to be all whatever the hell it is you're doing, fine. But we're going to go over here and take care of ourselves. And just that example is a threat to them.
Yeah.
They can't have people out there being left alone, being productive and inspiring generation next. So that is where I think the battle is going to be, is finally people that, just like in the beginning of this country, you know, how far in the woods you got to go, you know, and then it finally, all right, it's on. And I'm trying to prevent that. And because I don't want to go, but I'm not going to leave this battle to my grandchildren, saying, yeah, I made it. I'm winking out. It's all good. You know, it sucks to be you. You know, that's just not going to be me. And it's going to take generation next, of which Justin Olson is definitely part of. I just wanted to introduce Justin to you guys. Make sure you knew, you know, that, you know, the future is bright and there are people out there seeking the education that they didn't get before, and finding a community of people that think this way and are looking for solutions. Now, in autonomy, you got a, you know, dose of that, I'm sure, the community there. But when you guys have been going to different festivals or you have a physical presence in places, are you feeling that, you know, there's more than just autonomy? Did it surprise you, the people of this mindset, that there was a whole community, or did you expect to find it?
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting coming from an open-minded, almost like the psycho-spiritual side of open-minded and awake, and then finding out that there is this whole geopolitical and historical element of awake, and that there was a pretty, you know, the people that understand it and have really done their research take it very seriously, and they've been very active in it. It just gets censored out in the world. It just gets pushed down and pushed away, and we're just bombarded with this mainstream narrative. So it was kind of a surprise to see so many people that were so aware that were wanting to actively do something about the freedom on this planet.
You know, you can see, a friend of mine said this one time decades ago, and he goes, you want to see the future, you just look at what's incentivized and what's punished. And when you incentivize sloth and inactivity and dependence and disability and gimme, 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 and universal basic, gimme yours for me, you have, and counter to that would be what's punished You know, when you're punished for your productivity, or you made too much money, or you got too much stuff, or, you know, held death tax. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You can see the future of a society just by the incentives. Then you see it in social media. Then you see it in school. You see it in institutions and campaigns. What is incentivized and what is punished? And it just tells you everything you need to know. Well, fortunately, it's not working and people can see it. And that's why communication is such a big deal, which is what Justin Olson is going to help us with now. Go ahead and check out biobask.com. And I told Justin that he has to put a picture up, you know, because he's party. You know, I just want all the women to know. He's going to be in Weir area in New Hampshire a little bit and go down. He'll be around the Freedom Community. Yeah, all you girls need to line up and come say hello. I highly recommend. All right, thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Ernie.